Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 5 through 14. Bible says, when you pray, this is Jesus talking from the Sermon on the Mount. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. And I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Anybody want to be rewarded by God? That's a good reward. Amen? Amen? And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him, because he's a good dad. Amen? Amen? This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Lord, we come before you this morning in prayer, Lord. Looking to grab on, looking to sync up, looking to make a change, looking to be transformed in our lives, Lord. I pray, Lord, as we gather in your presence, you say where two or three are gathered, you are right here with us, Lord. Lord, that your eyes are upon us, Lord, that your ears are attentive to our prayers, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would, as you taught your disciples long ago, that you would teach us to pray, that you would call us into prayer. And we'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Well, Dave and I took a little trip on Friday. Dave, what's your last name, by the way?
Ward.
Dave Ward and I took a trip. Dave, many of you have seen him. If you come around here during the week, food distribution, Dave is around here a lot now. And Dave and I went to go see Baltazar Leon. I think everybody here knows Baltazar. He has been in the hospital or convalescent care for a year now, real close to a year. And Pastor Paul and Ann, they go and they've got Bible studies at the convalescent place where he stays. And they said, you know, he's looking for a caregiver. You know anybody that could help take care of him? And Baltazar's a big man. We went and saw him. He's lost 100 pounds. He looks great. He's got big old fire Bible sitting next to him on his bed that Pastor Paul and Ann got for him. And I took Dave. I said, Dave does some in-home care, and he's big enough to handle a big man, and he's familiar with pain issues and all that kind of stuff. And he's the only guy I thought of that perhaps might be able to deal with all the challenges and all the hours required that Baltazar needs. He hasn't been able to leave the hospital because he needs almost constant care. And we show up, and Baltazar just lit up, didn't he? He just lit up. Oh, Pastor, how are you? And I said, and Dave had to go to a meeting. I said, look, this, I think, is the guy that can take care of you. And he turns around. And he says, I need this. He had the paperwork all set up right there. I mean, this just falling right into place. And so the lady comes over, and we talk to the lady, and Baltazar has a place to go, but he needs somebody to take care of him. Dave's wanting to take care of somebody, and it's all working out, and I'm talking to the lady, and they're talking to one another. It's just looking good, and we're getting ready to leave. And he goes, Pastor, you won't believe this. Just 1 hour ago, I was crying out to God because I had felt that everybody had forgotten me. And I said, God, I need a way to get out of this hospital. And I turned to Dave and I said, it is amazing, because right about an hour before, I turned to Dave. I said, Dave, you want to go on a trip? We're going to go meet a guy. It is amazing how powerful prayer is.
Amen?
Amen? Power and Prayer, new series. We have been going through Power and Pentecost. And if You had come forward in the previous weeks and you were saying, Lord, as Pastor Paul's talking about being half full of God or three quarters full of God. And you want that fullness of God that comes through the Pentecost experience, that baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's power in prayer. Continue to ask. Continue to seek. Continue to long after the presence of God in your life. And it will be fulfilled in you. I was preparing for last week, and we were gonna. I didn't want to spend a long time on Pentecost because Pentecost Sunday was 3 weeks ago, and the text that I used last week was from Acts 2:42, and it says it's talking about the new church. 3,000 people got saved on Pentecost, and it says in Acts chapter 2 verse 42, it says that they, all those new converts, as well as the apostles, as well as the other 120 people that were in the upper room that received the baptism. All those people that were transformed by God on that day of Pentecost, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. I talked about that last week, that we have the apostles' teachings recorded for us in the New Testament, that they devoted themselves to the fellowship. The fellowship is the gathering, the body of Christ. And you know what? We put a whole lot of focus on the Word of God around here. You will never show up and not get Word of God. And I hope that's okay. Well, I tell you, there's other churches you can go to if you want to learn about dieting and you want to learn about how to bounce your checkbook and do all kinds of stuff. You can go to another church. Here, you're going to come and you're going to learn about the Word of God. We also have a lot of body ministry, as I shared about Dave and I going on that trip. And there's a lot of that stuff that goes along with the food ministry and all kinds of support stuff. He says that they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, which is the communion table, which we just had, and to prayer. And I was struck. I was struck. God just spoke to my heart. And he said, this is the weakest aspect of this church, is prayer. You're good. It's kind of like the book of Revelation. You know, it says, you're strong in the word and you're strong in the fellowship. But, oh, where's the prayer? And the Lord just spoke to my heart. My house needs to be a house of prayer. And so we're going to begin this series on prayer and how to find familiarity with God. How to grab on to God. How to find familiarity in prayer and in the presence of God. This that I read from you today out of Matthew, Luke also talks about the Lord's Prayer. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray just as John, talking about John the Baptist, taught his disciples how to pray. And there was something that, I mean, Jesus was casting out demons and he was healing the sick and he was doing miracles and doing all kinds of stuff. But there was something that was going on in Jesus' life in prayer that the disciples wanted. Jesus had a familiarity with his Father in heaven that above casting out demons, above healing the sick, above raising the dead, above doing miraculous signs and wonders, his disciples said, teach us how to pray. Because what you have, we want. And what they had, I want. And I'm hoping in this series, and I got a bunch of stuff on prayer, and I don't know how long we're going to go on prayer. We're going to go for a while. It might be a whole summer of prayer. That we will become familiar with the presence of God in our lives. That you will become familiar. That you will become desirous. You'll be like those disciples going, teach me to pray more. Because I want to learn how to grab onto God. I want to be familiar with God. Amen?
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 Amen.
All right, let's talk about this. God has grabbed onto us. Romans 8, 28 through 30. And we know that in all things, God works for the good for those who love him. Do you love the Lord today?
Yes.
You had any challenges this week? Yes. Guess what? In all those challenges, God is working for your good. It says, those who have been called according to his purpose, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. That's you today, if you love the Lord. That he might be the firstborn among many brothers, that we might follow Jesus. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those who justified, he also glorified. God is doing a work in you. You are here today. You might be here just to celebrate the goodness of the youth bake sale. But God has a bigger plan. You might be here because there's a great lunch. You might be here because we give away food. God has a bigger plan. Amen? Because God would use all the stuff that's going on in your life for what? For your good. He would call you out of darkness and into light. He would do a transformation. The transformation that he would do in you is to make you look like Jesus. And you have to ask yourself, what do you have in you and on you that doesn't look like Jesus? It is said, I mean, I got no way to prove this, but supposedly some guy was talking to Michelangelo, and he was talking about sculpting, and he says, in every piece of marble, there is a sculpture. All I do is remove what's not the sculpture, and when I'm done, I have my sculpture. What is God trying to remove from you? What do you have in your life that does not look like Jesus? Some of you got a bunch. It's just like, oh, Lord. You know what? And you know, I'll tell you what, man. I came to God. I was so loaded down with life. And I was just like, unload me, Lord. Unload me, Lord. I mean, I just want a complete transformation. Dave, I think you got a little bit of that, man. I mean, this guy is fired up for the Lord, getting right, getting good. Many of you are like that. Many of you are just, Lord, unload me and make me new. I want to look like Jesus. But some of us, man, we're fighting with God. We got stuff in our life, and the Lord said, hey, let me take that off you. And we're like, no, no. The very stuff that is messing you up, you are fighting. You know what that stuff, we call that stuff? We call that stuff sin. Now we're fighting with God to keep sin in our lives. And that is the very thing that keeps us away from God. It's like Pastor Scott was talking about, hey, we're used to doing this and we're not changing. God says, do this. And we're like, no way. No way. And we fight with God to keep the sin in our lives that keeps us away from him. What is getting in the way of your familiarity with God? What is keeping you away from him? Because the work he's doing in you today is to pull that off so that you can draw near. Amen? All right. Jump to Hebrews. In this study, it's not going to be a scriptural study, and we're going to use scripture, but we're going to jump around a little bit. All right, going to hit prayer topics. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 19, and there's some other stuff, and I'm going to read verse 22. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us. See, there's that sin thing, right? You're going to come into the presence of God and you will be cleansed. And so many of us don't want to be cleansed. We want to hold on to that garbage in our life because we don't want to change. And it keeps us from the presence of God. It keeps us from prayer because we know we're soiled. And we can't come into the presence of God because we're too dirty. He says we come into the presence of God, we will have our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Now, God grabs onto us, and prayer is our way of grabbing back onto God. Amen? Amen? The writer of Hebrews says that we can come right into the most holy place. This is the throne room of God. Now, the most holy place, this is a picture, an image of Herod's temple. And that temple, that high part back there, is the holy place. And the holy place was divided into two sections. You would have the holy place, which is where that priest is standing, and then the back is the most holy place. And the most holy place was where the Ark of God was. The Ark of God that had the Ten Commandments inside, and it had two big angels on the top. If you've seen, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, kind of like that. And it had two big angels on it, and the presence of God would be manifest above those two angels, called the mercy seat of God. And it was the very place on earth where God's presence was. Now, the high priest was the only person that could go in that back room, and he could only go on one day a year. But the writer of Hebrews says that we can go in whenever we want because of the sacrifice of Christ. And my question is how often are you going in? How much time do you spend in the most holy place? Because when you go in there, you will be transformed. You will feel the stuff that is on you. And you want to get rid of it. Going into the holy place is like going to a holiness spa. You go in there and you're working off all that stuff that's going to keep you away from God. Because you go in there and there's some stuff that's not looking so good that we got. And the more you go in there and the more work you do, the better you will start looking spiritually. Amen? See, we need to spend some time in the presence of God. We need to become familiar with the presence of God. Writer of Hebrews says, let us draw near. They weren't doing it. My question for you is, are you doing it? Why does it have to be in the Bible? Let us do this. Jesus, Leanne, Lisa was saying how I urge you. It's a command in the Greek. I command you. Why are we not doing it? Why the hesitation? Why the drawback? Why the unfamiliarity with the presence of God? Let us draw near. What are you holding on to that keeps you away from God? I got a treadmill sitting on my back porch. It often calls my name. Time to exercise. And I do not answer as often as it calls. And you know what? It is a great treadmill. When I work on that treadmill, I feel good. It's like I was looking for pictures this morning. I go, that's what I look like on the treadmill. I'm just happy and jolly and feeling good. You know, my shirt get all jacked up and all this kind of stuff. I get all sluggish. And I get on that treadmill, and in 15 minutes, all my sugar will be straightened out. Everything will be good. And yet I'm hesitant to get on that treadmill. We're hesitant to enter into the throne room of God, even though when we get there, we'll feel great every time. Amen? Is that it? I'm just preaching to these three people? Amen?
Amen?
Thank you very much. All right. I don't really look like that. I try and keep both feet on the treadmill at all times. There you go. All right. Jesus grabbed onto God. Jesus prayed a lot. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Very early in the morning while it was still dark. Yes, you can get up when it's dark and you can pray. Jesus did. Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus prayed a lot. Jesus gave up a lot to come here. To get here, Jesus gave up heaven. And while Jesus was here, he was trying to fill in the gap. And I'm telling you, prayer is the most heaven you are going to get while you're walking around on this earth. Amen? Amen. You want to get some heaven in your life? You want to grow more familiar with the presence of God in your life? Spend more time in prayer. You want to get cleaner? Want to look more like Jesus? Spend more time in prayer. Jesus did it. And Jesus was down here. He said, hey, you know what? You guys don't know how all this stuff works. He said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing of. He says, John chapter 4, verse 34, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. There is a whole nother level of living, so to speak, that you can get ministering, do the ministry of God in a spiritual place. You know who was stoked? I talked to Teresa yesterday. Teresa filled in for her sister and taught the preschool class. And you know what? You were stoked, right? There is a spiritual thing that happens. Dave was bummed last week. He was going to come up and pray. You are doing that barbecue. It feels good to serve in the house of the Lord. Amen? Jesus is saying, hey, you know what? There's a whole other realm. I'm telling you, ladies that are thinking about being teachers, there's a greater reward than just cheesecake and Coronado. Although cheesecake and Coronado is not bad. But I'm telling, Jesus says, hey, you guys don't even understand how I roll. You guys don't understand the values that I have. And what we're going to try to do in this series is grab onto God, become familiar with the presence of God in our life, and move to a new spiritual level of existence. Amen? Does that sound good? Amen. Jesus, as much as he prayed, he wasn't getting enough. He wanted more. John chapter 17, verse 5. He is getting ready to go to the cross. He has done his work. He is preparing to go to the cross, being prepared for the resurrection. He says, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world began. As good as Jesus had it, as tight a sync of with heaven that Jesus had while he was walking around, there was a whole other level to go. I don't know your prayer life. But I do know that whatever it is, there is more that is available to you. Amen? That you can look forward to. We prayed for Lydia's mom and dad. They are old. And I'll tell you what, I am feeling old. My elbow is hurt. And you know what? Heaven is looking real good. And heaven is a improvement. Amen? Heaven is like getting a raise. Heaven is a promotion. And as we wear this body out, we get to move to a whole nother level. The greater your prayer life, the more you're going to prepare for that, and the better it's going to be down here. Amen? Amen. Are we good? Do you want to spend some time on prayer this summer? I'll tell you what, if you don't, you got to ask yourself, what's keeping me away? All right, let's keep going. Prayer will change you. Sometimes, like Pastor Scott leading right into what I was talking about, sometimes we just don't want to change. Prayer will change you. You're going to pray, you're going to change. You don't want to change, you're not going to pray. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? It says, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding. I don't get it. You understand the peace of God? No, obviously not, because it transcends all understanding. It's going to guard your hearts. It's going to guard your minds in Christ Jesus. Anybody got any drama going on this week? Anybody got any tension? Any stress? Any anxiety? That's it? Come on. Come on. You got. Oh, there we go. See, what are you anxious about? I mean, you could probably make like a little list, right? You could maybe make a big list of all the drama. We got problems. We got struggles. Bible says, bring them to God. How nice is that? Amen? Bible tells us you got problems, you're anxious, you got issues. Pray. As we pray, we are changed. We get to make an exchange with God. We come to God with all this tension, stress, and anxiety, and we exchange it for his peace and his tranquility. Doesn't that sound like a good thing? You're worried about money, worried about your child, worried about your spouse. Eva's worried about a grandchild coming in. First grandchild? Mike is worried about being called grandpa. That beard's going to start turning gray. I got some chemicals that can make it black for you, buddy. All that drama. You come to the Lord in prayer and just billow it out. And he unloads you. And he'll transform your situation. See, we got all that stress. It says that not only do we get peace, but that his peace will protect our hearts, will guard our hearts from what? From attack. Heart attack. A spiritual attack. That as we are all stressed out over all that this stuff, that the enemy will come and begin to attack you and load you down. You'll look for some avenues to relieve that stress that you shouldn't be using. It's going to take you further and further and further away from God. He says, you come to God in the midst of that, you will get protection for your heart. You'll get protection for your mind. I did a little thing. I got a picture of a heart attack. You get clogged arteries and blood clots and all kinds of stuff. And it shows that part down there, that brown part, dying muscle. When your vessels aren't working right and your blood's not getting right to your heart, it's part of your tissue will just start to die. And they call that heart disease. Also, what happens is you get your arteries are getting clogged. That one that says open, just like a nice new hose in your car, you know, it's just like flowing right through. And you got one that's 40% blocked, and that yellow stuff is plaque. Plaque, is that right, plaque? Plaque. And then you get one that's 95% blocked, and what's happening is your heart's not working right. You got all this garbage in your heart, and what happens is we got all this garbage in our lives. And it clogs the stuff of God. And he says, you come to me in prayer and I will protect your heart. I will clean you out. I will transform you and make you look like my son. I'll clean out your mind. And I'll make you new. Become familiar with God and you'll start looking better. Amen? All right. Are we good? All right. I'm trying to be quick. You know what? Let me just read this text first. John 14:12-14. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. This is Jesus talking. Anybody here got faith in Jesus? You got faith in Jesus? You will do. Jesus says, you'll do what I've been doing. He'll even do greater things than what I've been doing. He raised the dead. Because I'm going to the Father, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Ask me anything. You know what? I got that top right there feeling ripped off. Because I tell you what, sometimes we talk about prayer, we're talking about the peace of God, and the peace of God is real. Peace of God is real. And if you got no peace in your life, the peace of God is very desirable. But you know what? So many people just thinking, oh, that's all I got. That I will be changed. And you know what? I feel a little bit ripped off. When that is all that my prayer does, it's kind of like a scam. Oh, you pray, and then all the drama in your life is not going to bug you anymore. It's like, well, that's not what I was looking for. But that is not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about prayer that changes stuff. He says, you ask me anything. You know what? I'll tell you, the Bible is filled with stuff that happened in response to people's prayer. Amen? Amen? Prophet Elijah called down the fire of heaven with a prayer. Amen? And that's what I'm talking about. That's the power I'm talking about. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Why? Because of a prayer. Amen? Amen? David slew Goliath with a prayer. I'm looking for a prayer that changes stuff. I'm looking for the prayer, like Belteshazzar's prayer, that says, God, I got to get out of this hospital. And then all of a sudden, Pastor Bob and Dave show up and say, hey, we're ready to take you out of here. I'm looking for healing that's going to happen for diabetes. I'm looking for healing that's going to happen. Like Lori went home all busted up on Wednesday night. She told me today, she dreamt she was praying. She got up, her ankle was sprained because she fell in the baptismal. She was all bruised up. She got up, going to grab her cane. No pain, no more bruises, no more anything. The healing touch of God. Amen? That's the kind of prayer I'm looking for. That's the kind of prayer that the Bible talks about that we can have. But I'll tell you what. You got to become familiar with the presence of God. The more you tie into God, the more familiar you're going to be familiar with his presence. Amen? You need a job? Need a car? Need a place? Let's start coming to the Lord. Amen? Need a healing touch in your body? Let's start coming to the Lord. Let's have a line up here on Sundays. People wanting to come to the Lord. Say, you know what? I am coming to you, God. Let this place be a place of the presence of God where people would come and become familiar with God. Amen? Amen. All right, here we go. Problems with prayer. Let's be real. Amen? James says, you don't have because you don't ask God. You got lack in your life? How's your tithing? How's your asking? James says, you don't have because you ask for the wrong stuff. You're asking for stuff that you can use on you. And you're saying, well, of course. What else am I going to ask God for? What else do I need? And he says, when you ask with selfish motives, you get nothing. What are you asking God for? You need a Cadillac. You're selfish. You want to use the power of heaven for your own gain. We'll come back to that in a minute. He says you don't ask, or you don't get because you don't ask. And because you've been asking with selfish motives all this time, you're getting no, 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 no. You're just thinking God doesn't answer prayer anymore. I ain't even asking. I don't even sweat God. Maybe you're sitting here today. You say, wait a minute, if God is really there, there really is this power, and it's more than just a gimmick, and it's more than just a gizmo prayer thing. Who is this child? See, you know what? He's familiar with my presence. That's what we should be able to do, is run into the presence of God. That's okay, Grandma. Grab that kid. That's what we should be doing, too. Coming into the presence of God, just like that guy going, hey, I own this place. Well, actually, we don't own God's place. We come in there with humility and bend a knee. But you're coming in here and you're thinking about, okay, if all this power stuff is real, how come I'm sick? How come God's holding me up? How come God just doesn't come through? It's because God wants to build relationship with you. If the only time you show up is when you got a need, he's going to keep you in front of him. He wants you to become familiar with him. I mean, you got to start somewhere. You got to start with something. We're going to talk about what you start with. But I'm telling you what, Elijah didn't call the fire of heaven down on the first day. Amen? Samson. You know, it was the end of his life, man, when the Philistines were all around him. Man, he's calling out to God. Man, he knew what he lost, and he knew what he had to try to get back. Elijah, Samson, David calling out to God, slaying the giants. Didn't do it on the first day. But I tell you what, Daniel walked among the lions, amen? And it was because he had spent his whole life in prayer. David and Daniel and Samson and Elijah were familiar with the voice of God. They were familiar. They knew more than his voice. They knew who was speaking. And you come to the Lord today, and you are thinking, Lord, I want to know that. You got to start someplace. One thing you got to let him do is make a change. If you're too resistant to change in your life, you will not come into his presence. You'll never get to the power prayers. Because you won't let him make you look like Jesus. I'm thinking David, I'm thinking Elijah, and I am thinking Daniel looked a lot like Jesus. Amen? So what do you got in your life that you're holding on to? What do you got that's more important than the presence of God? The new church, the presence of God, the priority of God was number one. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayer. What do you devote yourself to? What's most important to you? At least you can come on up. Now I'm loading you down. I'm going to give you four ways that you can build your prayer life. Number one, pray for me. I am serious. You know what I've been doing this week? I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you like crazy. I've been praying for Dave. I take Dave right into the most holy place and say, Lord, look at this guy. You are doing a work in him. I just lift him up. I take Yuseli in there. Yuseli, look at that. I take my wife in there. My wife, she's loaded down. Lord, I just pray in strength. Lord, George has been taking care of his brothers and all that kind of stuff. Take George into the most holy place. Teresa, going to go into that class. I take Teresa into the most holy place. Sandra was sick. I take Sandra into the most holy place. You know what? I go into the most holy place with all you guys. I don't know if you felt those prayers. But you know what is different about me? Is the more I take you in there, the more I'm in there. Amen? And if you aren't in there at all, go in there with me. Because I tell you what, I'm getting spiritual attack all the time. You can drag Pastor Bob in the most holy place. I lift up Pastor Bob to you, Lord, that you would be his strength, be his support, be his healer. And you know what? you are becoming familiar with the presence of God. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Next Saturday, 5 o'clock. What do you have that's more important than to be in the presence of God for 1 hour? Make an adjustment in your schedule. Write it down. I will not call you. I will not remind you. You can say, Holy Spirit, please remind me. Write it down. Put it on your notebook, put it on your Facebook or whatever. What's your priorities? What does God need to change in your life? Pray for me. And you can pray for one another. Go into the most holy place as often as you can. Get to that prayer meeting. Number three. This week I started turning off the radio in my car. And I would, as I was driving, take you guys into the most holy place. I don't know how much you drive. Some of you guys drive a lot. Some of you guys are walking around the neighborhood. As you walk, pray. As you drive, pray. Make gaps for God in your life, and you will become more familiar with Him. Amen? Amen. Last thing. Watch the Padres game the other night. It was 17 innings. I can't remember what day it was. 17 innings. I couldn't make it all the way. I was tired. 14 innings. You know what? That's 28 half innings. I got to imagine some of you watch some TV. Pray during the ads. There's 8 minutes of ads in every half-hour show. Just blank that thing off, turn it off, hit mute, whatever, and just walk into what? The most holy place. And you will begin to become familiar with the presence of God. Amen? Are we good? We're going to sing. Stand with me, would you? Lord, I pray that you would just call us into your presence, Lord, as we end our time and we're going to sing this song, Lord, that as we lift up our voices, that you would just come down and that you would put your arms around us, that we become familiar with your presence, that you can transform us to make us look more like your Son. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. Let's sing a song. Let's sing a song. Let's sing a song. Let's sing a song. Let's sing a song.